Praise the Lord. Raise one hand, let's say this together. Our Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, in this service, we receive the accuracy of the teaching of your word. We believe and receive counsel from your word, unhindered, without blemish, this morning, together as a church. We behold Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in him. Is glorified as we are edified. Amen. Matthew's Gospel 28. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. We continue and finish up today on our series. Just before you say I do, when you are done, and oh, I like that. What are you doing, Seth? Alright. Matthew's Gospel 28, we're looking at counsels from God's Word and instructions from the Word about relationships, marital relationships, premarital relationships. Matthew's Gospel 28, 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority which was power is given to them, in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, which is the word to make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, of the age. Amen. And this shows you what every believer's vision should look like, which means this is for the church, this is for believers, this is for those who believe in Jesus, his disciples, his followers. This is our global mission. This is our life mission. Like I said in the first service, you must therefore find your place in this. It's therefore out of order and almost ridiculous for a Christian to say, well, I want to know the will of God for my life. No. You already know the will of God for your life from this great commission. Is I want to know my place in the will of God for my life. That's the right question. My place in this. Because the written word is God's will to us. Say, the written word is God's will for my life. Say it again, the written word is God's will for my life. And you do well not to think God's primary way of communicating with you is through a voice. God speaks to us, yeah, sure, he does, individually. But his primary communication to us is the written word. So the written word is God's will for my life. So I find my place in God's will. And because we're talking about premarital, marital relationships, it therefore means that I must put this in mind. We're going to touch that also. As I engage in premarital, marital relationships, this is the will of God also for our relationships. We talked about that later as well. In Mark's Gospel 16:15, to reiterate it that again, it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, which means all relationships must have this mission in mind. If you're a believer, your relationships must have this mission in mind. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. Verse 19, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them, circumcised, and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. So this is also a goal in relationships, friendships, marital relationships. This is a goal. Anyone that cannot fit into this should not even have the guts to ask you to marry him or her. This is your vision for life. This is God's word over your life. This is God's will for your life. So you don't have this in here, you're going to pray, God, what's your will for my life? This is his will for your life. Every believer, you and I, whatever country you belong to. You know, Jesus didn't give this to individuals. He gave it to a collective group of people, which shows you this has nothing to do with your career. It has nothing to do with your background or where you're from. This is God's mission for His people. Just like He called Israel and gave them a common goal. Exodus 19, 4 and 5. He gave them a common goal. Exodus 4, 22 and 23. A common goal. So I now find my place in Christ. I find my place. I look for my role, my place in the will of God. And I must know it. Luke's Gospel 24, are you learning something? Are you learning something? Luke's Gospel 24. So which means, if I'm engaged in a relationship, I'm about to ask you, so what are we doing about this? Oh well, what about that? What are we doing about this? No, that's not, let's put that aside. Well, I can put that aside. Because that's the will of God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Luke's Gospel 24, come on. In verse 25. Then he said to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? 27. And beginning Moses and all the prophets, expound to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So we said, Jesus, this Bible, is what we refer to now as the Old Testament. And I said to us, I've said it over time, that the phrase Old Testament didn't come from any of the authors of the scripture that is referring to those books. And neither did it come from Jesus or the apostles. It's something that came later centuries. Which means what we call the Old Testament is the Word of God. Genesis through to Malachi. That's the background of the conversations, letters. And if you were around yesterday during the teaching seminar, I said the Old Testament were the epistles of the apostles. Not written by them, but written for them. The Old Testament are the epistles that they read from. That's the epistle or the epistles of Jesus. And so again, Luke 24, 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms concerning me. He doesn't call them Old Testament. Then it says in verse 45, then he opened the understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And verse 46, and thus it's written, and behold, Christ has suffered and rise from the dead the third day. 47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, begin at Jerusalem. You are witness of these things. So you can see again that the mission is a core part of Christianity. He repeats it. Luke repeats this. So for emphasis, we have it in Matthew, Mark, then we have in Luke, where he gives us a global mission, a global vision, which means anywhere you are, this is God's will for your life. John's Gospel 20 and 21. Peace unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. See it? I send you. The word ex apostolo. I send you. I send you. Then he said to them, he breathed unto them, on them, them shall receive the answer, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And he says, whosoever sins that you remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins that you retain, they are retained. That's a global mission. So my relationships, right, if they are going to honor God, must honor the written word. If they are going to honor the written word, must honor this. And like the song we sang, we should not be ashamed of who we are. See, I'm not ashamed of who I am. I don't think I heard, I'm not ashamed of who I am. You don't be ashamed of who you are. You know, I'm not a Muslim. I know you know, right? But you find Muslims, and they always want you to know they have a Muslim name. And they do that. I've had calls to travel with some of them on business trips, and they say, it's going to be 1 o'clock, I have to pray, it's Friday. And they say, well educated. They are not ashamed of that. Don't be ashamed of who you are. You're a believer. Hallelujah. And you have your own values, right? Come on. Right, you do. Yeah, you have your own values. So you're not ashamed of who you are. So which means that even though, like we have said here, that marriage is a worldly institution, of course, commissioned by God, marriage is a worldly institution, our thinking of it cannot be worldly. Okay? So we have to think the word even though it's worldly. So one of the things in Matthew 28, when it says, making disciples of every nation, which is the word Matthetuo. M-A-T-H-E-T-U-O. Making disciples. Matthetuo. Which is to be instructed, to learn, watch this now, to relearn, and to unlearn. So if we're being disciples, we learn, we relearn. That means there's some things you know that you are going to learn again, and then you unlearn. There's some things you knew that you have to unlearn them. And I believe there's a couple of things like that, including the way we reason in our culture about marriage. In our culture. You know, said that if you, I told you before, that when you read Bible marriages, don't try to replicate the things that are there because their culture is different from yours. But pay attention to the instructions of God's word. Now you have the time that Abraham, we're going to see that shortly, sent his servant to go and get a wife for his son. You can't adopt that and say, that's the Bible way. So, way behind. Let me get one of my colleagues at work to go and get you a wife. But we have different instances. I showed it also that Sarah was Abraham's sister, of course not from the same mother. And then it was accepted in that culture, but you don't adopt that now. We also have different things. You get the New Testament era too, you have the different cultures, so you don't adopt the culture. You don't adopt that culture. The culture, for example, of having a parent give the child in marriage, right? I said that to us, it's not an instruction from God's word. We saw that together. Oh, but is it important? Oh, it is. To honor the parents, it is. But you see, it's not like, oh, it becomes the Spirit of God. No, it's not. So you must ensure that you are not adopting a culture that is not God's word. So when you read the Bible, you see culture. There's culture in there. And because, as we have studied, God adopts the culture of the people, even though temporary, He uses the culture to transmit His word. But He doesn't want us to admit the culture. He wants us to believe His word and not admit the culture. Let me see if you're following what I'm saying here. Is that clear to you? So you must know the difference. So just like that, we have the culture of our world and our age. And I want to say something here. That you're in Africa where there's a way you see women. I mentioned that in the first service. Where the first thing that comes to your mind about, so that I want to get a wife so that she can be cooking meals for me. Did you say? Yeah, to cook meals. And some people think that's why they get married. To have a woman who is a permanent full-time staff of the kitchen. And sometimes it's so interesting because the person you're talking about, maybe you were classmates. And in class, she even helped you pass. I know that's the story. Some of you, that's your testimony. She helped you pass. And you can admit it that she's more brilliant than you are. In fact, if not for bad grammar, I say she's most brilliant than you are. You know, more is for two, most is for three or more. But I can also add a third person to it. And then the person goes for master's degrees and gets that. And then at the end of the day, you think that what she's qualified for is kitchen. Why? Because of your belly. Well, if you are that committed to food, and you really, really are interested in eating the way you want to eat, and then just sign a contract with some of these restaurants. That's what they are paid to do. You have morning meals, afternoon, evening. So I want my meals fresh 2 p.m., 7 p.m., you can get it done. Just sign the contract. And you pay. After all, how much was the dowry you paid? 50K. 100K. Just put it in dollars. You see how it sounds. You paid 100,000. You now want to have 40 years of three square meals. Hallelujah. Amen. I know you say praise the Lord. I know that. I wanted that to come from you. Amen. So that's not the idea. It's not the idea. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, praise the Lord. I don't want to say this one, but maybe I'll say it later. But you just have to know that shouldn't be the way you think. That's an African way of thinking. Because in the African culture, even the ancient Near Eastern culture, they had women as, like servants. And some had more women, for them was like military power. Some was wealth. You don't have that kind of thinking. You should allow God's word, to inform how you think. So therefore, in discipleship, we retrain our minds, right? You see that word matitu, used in Matthew 13:52, where scribes, who are supposed to be lettered people, intellectuals of their day, are retrained. So if a scribe, Matthew 13:52, can be retrained, a scribe of scriptures is retrained in scriptures, that means that you should allow God's word to retrain your thinking. Say, I allow God's word to retrain my thinking. We also have a very wealthy man, Joseph of Arimathea, Matthew 27:57. A wealthy man, a ruler of the Jews, has status, power, and influence. He also got retrained. He got retrained. There's this sense of arrogance you can have because you've got a lot of money, because you travel around the world, you're a man of influence, and really spiritually you know nothing. When it comes to God and His Word, you are just next to nothing. You cannot say, because I'm a scribe. They got retrained. So you allow God's Word to retrain you. So we say one of the things you do in learning is ask questions. It's right to ask questions, but ask the right questions. In Luke 2, 46 and 47, I'm just refreshing our memories of what we have studied before. Jesus was in the temple among doctors of the law, and they were astonished at his questions and his answers. He was giving them questions. And then the answers, alright? Which means that Jesus equally asked questions. And we saw in Luke 2, 42 and 52 that he grew in wisdom. So I said earlier that you gain wisdom or you lose it by the kind of questions that you ask. You can ask a question to learn, or you can ask a question to mock. The Pharisees were always doing that. They would ask questions to mock Jesus or to tempt him. They were not asking questions to learn. But the interesting part was, Jesus gave answers that you and I, who are humble at heart, have learned from. They never learned. Because the reason why they asked the questions was not to learn. So, just like that, you can ask your pastor, your leaders, your mentors, spiritually speaking, the right questions. Not a question to test or tempt them, but a question to learn. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So we said in 1 Corinthians 7, Paul, which is much of the reason why he wrote the book of 1 Corinthians, he was responding to questions around, and I did this correction in the first service, the concept of saying single. I said it's unmarried. That's the right word in scripture. Concerning the first questions he answered were about sex. 1 Corinthians 7, 1 through to 5, through to 9, sorry. Then about the marriage. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 10. Then down to 24. Then to the unmarried. 1 Corinthians 7, 25 to 40. So look at it again. He first dealt with the sexual question. Then he answered questions about the married, the status of the marriage. Where, if you are married, I'm going to show you that shortly. If you are married already to an unbelieving spouse, he answered their question. What if the unbelieving spouse decides to leave? He answered the question. Then he clarified the status of believers generally, from verse 16 through to 24, which means that even though marriage has a status bequeathed to you, you have a status already in Christ. He says in that status, we are free in 21, and we're servants of Christ. We're bought with a price. So in spite of my marital status, I have an ever abiding status in Christ Jesus. Whether free, so whether married or unmarried, he calls us free in Christ, one. He calls us servants of Christ, two. Verse 22. Then he says we are bought with a price. And we must abide in verse 24, wherein God has called us. Who's following this now? Are you following this? So which means that, in spite of my marital status, I could be married, I could be unmarried. These are facts about me. I am free. I am a servant. And I am bought with a price. I'm precious. I'm bought with a price. And therefore, I am not servants of men. I don't serve this world. So, which means that I must not lose my spiritual identity, even though I'm engaged in a worldly and earthly institution. Then he answers questions to the unmarried, which is in verse 25 through to 40. Now, the unmarried I mentioned in the earlier service can be because of three reasons. Can be because the unmarried is just not married by age or by choice. The unmarried can be unmarried because the spouse has left him or her. That was earlier stated. The unmarried can also be unmarried because of the death of the spouse. So, in the three instances, Paul paints them here, he still gives instruction. So, he talks about the cares of marriage. And I mentioned that the earlier time, that it has nothing to do with negativity. That care of marriage is just to show you that there's responsibility in marriage. So you are not, and I said that earlier in the service, in the first service. Marriage is work. It's not fun. It's not fun, it's work. You, what you're about to get into, of course you have the fun part, you know, which is good, but it's work. Commitment to persons and individuals itself is work. It's like pastoring. It's like discipleship. It's like nurturing something. It's a work. It's not fun. There's fun in it, but there are times that it's not funny at all. And so you don't get the wrong things into your head. I like her because she's humorous. I like him because he's humorous. So you want, even those who do a night of 1,000 laughs, it's just one night. You can't have somebody making you laugh all the time. It's not possible. It's not fun all the time. They're bad times. You know? They're interesting times. You know, when we got a hold of revelation knowledge, we put away some, we don't go for sickness and in health. No. In health against sickness, you're right. In riches against poverty, it depends. Amen. You know? It's so only, no, I'm not for poverty. In riches to fight against poverty. I understand. That will depend on a lot of conditions that you have to make up your mind about. So we should see therefore that it's the cares he refers to here, even though he appears to call them distraction, was not to show you negativity. It was just to show you that it's a responsibility that you have to take care of. And I did show you that he gave a background of Luke 10, where you had Mary and Martha. You have to take care of this. You cannot just be going for evangelism and prayer and healing the sick. That's not the only thing you got to be doing. You got to take care of your relationships. It is a responsibility. And so, this is important. Male and female, do not commit to an irresponsible man or woman, even if the person speaks in tongues. Instead of some folks are irresponsible. Extremely irresponsible. Who, a responsible person thinks about others, right? Right? Come on, talk to me. When I was a younger Christian, I was in the ministry, but I could be irresponsible. And you don't want to know me. I want to travel, right? And of course I was going to preach or something like that. Things like that. That's what I was really traveling to do. And I won't leave late. I'm going to Ilorio. I won't leave until 10 p.m. 10, 11 p.m. So I'll wait. There were times that I was, I preached in fellowship till about, I think about 7. Say, I'm going to learn it today. I said, so boom, sure. Lord, I'm not going yet. I'll leave by 9. From Ikorodu to Ojota, I stayed at Ojota till I got an 11 p.m. bus. I said, why? No, that we have dominion. You know, that's irresponsibility. Because if you waste yourself and your life, I mean, school fees that they paid for you, are you calling what I'm talking about? That just doesn't make sense. Irresponsible living. You just go anywhere, anytime. Then, back then, I go to church. Then I see a scripture. A scripture that, is burning in my heart after the service. The service is here in Ikeja. I will go back home. I'll just enter the next bus to Ibadan because of that scripture. Now, that's good zeal. And I commend you for doing that too. But that is irresponsible. At least place a call and say, excuse me, there's a scripture burning in my heart. And then I have to go. Then the husband will say, oh yeah, hold on. There's another scripture I want to share with you. Or your wife will say, okay, hold on before you, let's act on the entire counsel of God's word. Which means you have to talk to people, you have to be responsible to people. Those are the cares that come with the relationship. Is that very clear? Because it means that you are in union with people. And so you must show responsibility. So that's what Paul is talking about. He's not saying that, if you're married, you can't serve God. Or if you're unmarried, you must serve God. That is just not true. Okay? There are people who are married who serve God. There are people who don't marry and don't serve God. So wasn't the parameter. Yes, he did cancel that people should abide like he did, but that's just what he said. So therefore, right, we must be ready for the responsibility that comes with it. Now, let's again examine a few reasons you mustn't have in your head and mind. Now, I know that we're in a world of pressure and it has increased the more. Unlike before, it takes you to go for a wedding ceremony to be inspired. Now just open your Facebook. You get all the inspiration. Now if you are also linked to Instagram, the glory will come at you. Just every day. And you know, and we're also in a world of pepe dem. Pepe dem, ooh, pepe dem. And you know, people actually pay to use other people's houses as DP. There are people, for example, who pay to sit in private jets, private airplanes, to appear like that's how they fly. And it's just for 5 minutes. I think it's 50,000 or something. And you pay. And then they put it on their Instagram and say, There was a guy who came for one meeting like that. He used to sell cars, but he didn't have a car. So he was going for an alumni meeting, you know, like that, or a meeting of his ex-classmates. So he wanted to take a client's car that was ordered from overseas to use as I've arrived. So he got into the car, and you know, trying to prove a point, go. Now the truth is that two things were happening. The client paid money, but he hadn't used all the money. Okay? So he was yet to, you know, make some clearance for the car and all that. So when he brought the car to that particular meeting that was going, the car had an accident. And the accident was very bad. The car became a write-off. So three things now happened. One, which is the fact, he never had a car. That's just reality. The second thing is, he was now owing money. The third is, those he was trying to impress now needed to help him to pay who he was owing. So they found out he was lying. What a life of vanity. And you see, and that's the thing about trying to impress people. Do not get into relationships to impress. I know someone like that. You don't get to impress. Who are you impressing? Don't impress. It's not for show off. So that you can also wear a ring, a wedding band. For you to know that there's nothing special about wedding bands, they sell it in traffic. How about that for a prophecy? You know, it's not for show off. You know, I know a guy who, a lady, who insisted the husband to be must get a wedding band from, I think, Dubai. And the guy had to fly there, come on. What's a wedding band? I got the wedding band from Idi, Dere. And it didn't last any my, for about 10 years. Dere OJ. Amen? You know where Dere is? Okay, it's a Greek word for wealth. So in case you know. I said, he says, it's real special. Who are you impressing? You want to borrow money to have world-class wedding? To what? To people that will eat and go and eat somewhere else that same day. Did they even wish you well? They say, only God knows what to use for this guy. And I say, I'm so happy for you. God is as a man thinketh in his heart. So is he. He's not what he says. Proverbs 23 verse 7. Right? So don't do that to impress anybody. It's not to impress. Don't impress anybody. Don't compete. I think I said it the other time. Don't do rebound. Right? I'll show him that I can get married in this life. I'll show her that I can get married in this world. No. Don't do that. Don't do it to compete. Don't do it to show off. And let me say this. There's also no fulfillment in wedding ceremonies. Right? Ask those who have done it. All the four-day, what do they call it again? They call it something. Something wedding. The one that when you go around the world. What's it? There's a name. You know it. Destination wedding. Okay, you say yes in Paris. No, you ask in Paris. She says yes in London. Then you travel to Spain for pre-marital engagement party. Then you leave from there, you come to Nigeria to just show us you are still going somewhere else. You even do traditional in Dubai. Then you do, at the end of the day, right? It is still a marriage. That's just what it is. You are not any different from the people that went to the registry. Or the ones that just registered it with their family. There's nothing you have done. All you have done is spend money. Right? Oh, we gave out customized phones for people. Is that same phone they will gossip? You say, can you see her? Mm-hmm. She doesn't know how to cook. They can send the same phone. So all you did was to spend money. That was what you did. Oh, you now dance for then you dance and everybody now took your. Ask yourself, is this a clip for Nollywood, or you are getting married? Because people act weddings. You've not seen weddings in movies, wedding party. So that's not it. Don't impress anybody. It is also not a fulfillment. The fulfillment of marriage comes in the fruit of it. It's the fruit of it that is a fulfillment, not the event of a wedding. And don't forget, it's work. You are set out to work. You are set out to work. It's not competition. It's not for show off. Is that clear? And those of you who are in relationships about to marry, please make it easy for your spouses. Even if they are wealthy. If you don't have anything to do with your money, let's talk. Let's talk. Because people say, no, I can afford it. It's not because you can afford it. It's why are you affording it? What's it for? A guy was, I was helping the brother plan his wedding. He said, "Sir, I'm thinking of such and such number of guests." I said, "Why? Are they your real guests? How many guests do you really want?" So he mentioned it. I said, "What? Just do this and do this and that's all." He said, "But my mother and my father." I said, "What you need to do for them is do your wedding. Let them do their own for you." I know. She said, "I was thinking of taking cooperative loan." Ah, don't do it. Don't do cooperative loan. No, it will not cooperate with you eventually. Wedding ceremony is not an investment in the wedding, in the marriage. Let me say that. Please write it in capital letter. A wedding ceremony is not an investment in the marriage. You are only feeding people who will eat before and after. You are not feeding the poor, the hungry. Is that very clear? You are only impressing us. Eight course meals. You know? Then you go and do it on water. You know, someone said they went in that helicopter to propose. And they now saw it. "I love you." They wrote it on sea sand. And in 6 months, it is scattered. When you do something on sand, how will it scatter? I'm saying that because I know some of you here. Such as, I know you. I know you. I don't want to look at you directly, but I know you. It is not an investment. We'll just invest 20 million to our wedding ceremony, so our marriage will prosper. Me, as a person, on our wedding evening, I checked my pockets. I had 500 naira. It was the most stupid thing. So, the way I danced, you know, because I needed money. Everybody was looking at me. This guy was dancing like this. We are not paid the person that brought Coca-Cola. Then they say, "Oh yeah, enough of drinking, bring the apple." I was dancing, dancing. My mother said, and I was telling the brother, I said, "Pick that money up." Let me shock you. Till today, we didn't get the pictures of the wedding because we could not pay. It's just a fact. I mean, do you have it? We have to go and take from the parents who pay for their own. So don't waste. Do you get my point? Don't stress yourself. Is that clear? I've told you, wedding is between two people. Right? Right? Two. The ceremonies we're just coming to eat food. But other people are eyewitnesses. We don't care about you. That's why we wear agbada. Come and eat. Some people even come and take food for their dog. That's how far you have gone. So the fulfillment, pay attention, the fulfillment is in the fruit of it. What fruit are you thinking about? And I ask this question, what is your vision? Vision care. Okay. We just be having sex. That's your vision. And we have children. That's your vision. And we stay in the same house. That's not a vision. What else? I'll go out in the morning, we'll come back in the evening. You have no vision. You have nothing that you see yourselves do together. And I said that in the first service, and also in this service, you must be a responsible person in your own right, in your own way. I said it earlier that marriages have roles. What is your role? And know it before the marriage. What is your role? I hope men, when they are asking you out, they make you look like the head. Don't fall for that trick. Note what I said though. Like you are the head. Whatever you want, baby. It is an Old Testament. It will vanish away. Know your role, right? And define it. I've said this before. No marriage is the same. Don't make stupid comparisons. I'm going to talk about that more in the first service. Don't make stupid comparisons. We saw in scripture the different marriages, the different things. There was none that was cool. There was no bed of roses in any marriage in the Bible. None. If you see one, let me know. Even God and Israel. Even God and the church. Right? It comes with its own challenges of sustainability, faithfulness, consistency, reliability, all the highs and lows. That's just what it is. So don't have a dream that becomes a nightmare. Have a commitment. I said this in the first service. Do not rush into a lifetime activity. It's not worth it. So, there's something we began to look at in the first service, and I'm just going to go back there again. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where Paul says in 39, and I want you to observe this. He says that the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband lives. And of course, this is the unmarried. But if her husband be there, she's at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the law. So I said that in the first service, that yes, your choices, right, are involved, right? And I mentioned that your choices are based on your background, the information exposed to you, the kind of influences that you have around you. So your choice, and man is a product of influence. What did I say? Say it again. Man is a product of influence. So write this down, that your marital relationships, whether it's premarital or the actual marriage, is a sphere of influence. It's a sphere of influence. And we're going to see very vitally shortly. It's a sphere of influence. So your marriage or your premarital relationship is not neutral. It plays a role in your life, both spiritual, secular, mental, emotional. It plays a role. Now, Paul says something in verse 40, I just want to touch quickly. He says, but she's happier if she so abides that she's not married. Which means that marriage or relationships, right, is also meant to give you happiness. Not because you are in need of happiness, but just because God wants relationships to create happiness. Happiness doesn't mean everything is going to be right all the time. It just has the sense of contentment and joy. So to whom she will, in the Lord. So I said, even though it's your choice, and your choices are equally influenced, don't ever forget it. Your choice of where you are was influenced. Your choice of your friends is influenced. I remember I told my father this about my brother years back. He didn't like my brother keeping friends. So he said he didn't like the kind of friends he kept. So I sat him down and I told him something very vital. He sat back and said he never thought about it that way. I said, do you know that he never chose you? Ah, what do you mean? I said, no. He didn't choose you as his father now. That's why it's also very wrong to profile people based on their ethnic groups. You didn't choose your ethnic group. In many instances, people did not even choose their religions. So when you begin to, become somehow, I didn't choose to be a Yoruba boy. I was born that when I was told I was Yoruba, I was even told. Do you get it? So you didn't choose it. That's why I said people that racism really shows how a person is mentally deranged. Nobody chooses the color of his skin. Of course, that's with exceptions. Whatever interpretation you give to that is left for you. But the point is, yeah. So I told my dad, I said, this man that you are forcing to have this kind of friends, this guy didn't choose you. He said, well, I agree. I agree. And I added one more thing that got him more furious, but he didn't have a choice but to accept it. I said, number two, how do you know that if he were to be given the choice as to who his parents would be, he would choose you? Ah! I said, it's just the truth. I said, those friends that you are haggling him about, those are his choices. So what do? I said, simply inspire him and mentor him. He didn't choose you. And I added, I also didn't choose you. I choose you again and again. How many of you here? If you had a choice to choose Bill Gates as your father. But he's not a believer. Don't worry. I will teach him the word. The true gospel. Amen? Papa of Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. So what I'm saying is your choices are informed by the kind of influences that you have, the kind of school that you went to, the kind of, institutions that you have passed through, where you work, what you see. So always ask yourself, why am I thinking like this? There is always a reason why you are thinking the way you are thinking. Why am I thinking like this? Why do I suddenly want this? And I showed you something in the first set. We're going to go back there again. That Solomon was a man who was not even worldly. He wanted to build the house of the Lord. He wanted nothing but just God's wisdom. Then he now became someone that was saying an incantation. He was now bowing down to God. A man that built a house for the Lord and said, people from all over the world will bow to your name here. It's from clap, he entered dance. From, I like you, let's go out and eat. Let's just go on dinner. Let's just exchange meals. Let me have your number. Someone said, let me have your number. I said, why? He said, so we can talk. I said, did I say I want to talk with you? No, just, I said, no. I said, no. So what can I say? The best, I'll give you an email. No, email is difficult. Email, by the time you finish typing, before I respond, 5 days, you forget me. But if it's phone, I'll see it. I'll respond, you respond. What will have taken eight weeks to do by email, in 8 minutes we'll do by text. So I will have discouraged you. Amen? I'm giving you some word of wisdom. So Solomon from taking phone number. Oh, let's just talk. We can talk. Oh, you're also going to, you're traveling to Canada. I'm also going. Which day are you going? I'm going to. Let's go on Tuesday together. That's how it started. They were flowing there, just talking. Of course, they were discussing Chelsea first. But that's where it started from. Let's do this together. Before you knew it, the king that built a house for God to be worshipped now went to another house to worship. We didn't see him anymore in the temple. We saw him in the temple of idols. He even built 1,000 shrines. He had money. 1,000 shrines. As much as that. For his new wives. We'll get to that in a moment. So, know that relationship is a sphere of influence. And the ones you create in your office. I've told you before, always define relationships. Always define relationships. I know the influence a man can have around me. I will let you have as much influence like I want you to have. And one of the ways that you will know is there are some things I will never discuss with you. Because the moment I put it on your table, I've opened the door of my life to you. Some of you will argue with your wife at home, then you now get to the office. Say, what's wrong with you? You know, women are... That's your very lovely wife. They are all the same. It's true. It's true. May you sit down. The guy is not a Christian. He starts to tell you, look, this one, that one. Then he starts saying, we are bonding. Become James Bond. Because you opened the door. Why did you start that conversation? Sin in the Bible started by conversation. Imagine if the serpent spoke and Eve just went. You know how women do it? And walked away. Or she just sang in tongues and walked away. But because you want to respond to every conversation, you get the kind of wisdom that you are looking for. So, know that relationships, or relationships is a sphere of influence. I said something earlier, I'm going to repeat it. Ask yourself, why am I thinking like this? There is a reason why you are thinking the way you are thinking. Why am I thinking the way I'm thinking? Why am I reasoning this way? Don't say, it just came to me. Mm-mm. You are a product of influence. So I said, your background influences you, the home you came from, or the homes you admired, or people that trained you, or the country you lived in, or live at. Yeah. And many of us can be very impressionable. Very impressionable. You are very respectful in Nigeria. You will prostrate, you will kneel down. As soon as you get to another country, you change. Like I said, was it yesterday I said it? When I wanted to say Akara, I said Binky. I said, no. Don't give Akara English name. Akara is Akara. Eba is Eba. Amala is Amala. What is Yoruba name for Shawarma? They don't give you Yoruba, they say, Shawarma. Shawarma. So, what are you eating? Eba. Don't say, cassava flour with water. Cassava flour flaked balls. What's the cocoa? I cocoa. Is it cocoa? So when you get to a point, everybody say, "Hey, I see people who are full British, full Americans," and I saw that I prostrate because that's how I was trained. I don't get to another person's country, and I now adopt their culture to feel a monk. I don't feel a monk. I believe in the culture of honor. I prostrate. I met Mr. Washington one time at the airport, and I just was looking at him like this. I just went to him, I think it was in Dallas, and I prostrated. And I said, "Sir, let me help you." I said, "I'm from Government College." I said, "Ah, yeah. The school." Say, yeah. I gave him space. Because I'm well trained. Luckily, so don't get any place. So when you get to that point, your decisions, you know why you are doing what you are doing. Everything they are, you know, some of us, we should watch something like this. This movie, oh, the way a guy talked to a girl, they are acting, you know, you say, oh. Then as soon as your boyfriend or girlfriend calls you, honey, we need to talk. No, just say we need to act. So you must be in control of your emotions. Relationships are emotional, but be in control of them. So Paul says, yes, marry whom you will, which is influence anyway, but in the Lord. So don't be influenced to be competing. Don't be influenced to show off. Don't be influenced. That's how somebody said to say, we have to do honeymoon. Honeymoon, say, where? Honeymoon. And made the guy commit to honeymoon. So when they were in the honeymoon, he was not saying, the guy was just frowning. You won't frown. When you are thinking, how are we going to return this honeymoon? Because you took the honey from the wrong place. The guy had to squeeze money, buy, borrow, to satisfy his dream. And the thing about the honeymoon is you cannot stay there forever. You have to come back. So they came back and they said, the guy is frowning. I'm frowning. So I know some other couple, they went for honeymoon. They said they will go to Prayer Mountain. The man told me that they were fighting there. You know, always know the kind of influence. And as a group, they are also influenced by prophets. The prophets have told them. Someone said, you are the first one that will marry your family to open the door of glory. A friend of mine told me that the mom was used to, you know, taking names to prophets. I think I told you on Wednesday. So he gave the mom three names.
Esther, I think Jumoke, and Gladys. Sir, Gladys will follow the world. Ah, that Jumoke, she has short span, but that Esther will serve God with you. He said yes. But those were the three names of his wife. I've not told you what to do. Oh, yeah, somebody said, mommy said, daddy said, just know what is happening. There was a man of God who told my mom, who told my dad, and you know, guys like that. When you ask them to study, they won't study. To pray, they won't pray. Hear God's word, they won't hear God's word. But when they see prophets, they start to shake. Just know that your life will be led by prophets. I'm going to be repay. I can see that there's something precious in your house. That's how your husband just come to the house, empty all your account. Only what happened? They told me anybody that hinders this thing is sent from the kingdom of darkness. I knew when I was marrying you, I made a mistake. The man told me that the wife, that he just woke up one night and saw the wife became a serpent. I said, still never watch it. So the wife became a serpent. I said, what did you now do? He said, it was in the spirit. I said, fine. Again, saw her with horn. I said, I said, but sir, you already have three children. Are they serpents? He said, do you love them? Yes. One of whom married. I said, that means you have enjoyed the serpent relationship. If serpent can give you three children, I have been married for 10 years with serpent. That's a good serpent, too. Nonsense. So, you know, marry whom you will, but in the Lord. So always ask yourself, where is this influence coming from? I hope it's not the movies you watched. We're all influenced by things we watch. No matter how graced you are, no matter how spiritual you are, the things that you watch will influence you. Always know the things that influence you. So Paul says, marry whom you will, but in the Lord. So we began to look at very strict instructions in scripture. I just reiterate this. In Genesis 6, 1 to 4, we saw an ungodly union. The sons of God who came into the daughters of men in verse 4 and then gave birth to giants. It's a very, very controversial text. So I'll leave out the controversy, but it's a fact that was evidenced by New Testament writers. For example, Peter and Jude. But the thing we need to see here is it shows an ungodly union. That means even though it's your choice, it can be an ungodly choice. And just after that, the only other time we see what should not be or what should be, because Abraham and Sarah were married when God called them and they both became faithful followers of God. But in Genesis 24, Abraham, who was old, stricken in age, please go there, now called his servant Eliezer precisely, and said to him, Genesis 24 and verse 2, the B part, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I make thee swear by the Lord God, the God of heaven, and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites. He made him to swear that you won't take a wife of the daughters of the Canaanites. Now, which shows you that there is restriction as to who to marry. The interesting thing about what Abraham said here, he says the Canaanites among whom I dwell. That shows you a man not influenced by his environment. I'm dwelling here. Well, naturally, this is how my society thinks. This is how Lagos thinks. This is how United Kingdom thinks. This is how, but you will not take a wife from these people, but you go to my country, to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son. Now, I said this earlier, that people have assumed that this is racist or bigotry or an ethnic, you know, profiling. No, it's not. It's about worship. Abraham is particular about worship. Now, look at this important thing. Isaac is already blessed.
Isaac is called of God. Isaac has the firstborn blessing, the office of the prophet. But Abraham knew, just like you and I should know, the importance of the sphere of influence of marriage. It's a decision you cannot be stupid about. Before we go into other details, let me read a few things to us. I think I put this out before on Facebook. Every Saturday, tons of Owambe weddings happen. It seems like everyone is in a hurry to catch the bay and be featured on Bella Niger. Are you listening? I'm not reading a scripture. If care is not taken, a lot of single people will come under pressure and depression. Decision to marry is the biggest decision that most people will make in their lifetime. It is safer to make that decision carefully. Marriage is hard work, and so is divorce. It's a delicate issue. If you buy a wrong house, car, television set, you can make do with it for a time and after a while even replace it. But when you marry the wrong person, it's something that will live with you for the rest of your life. So when you marry for the wrong reasons, you may likely have married the wrong person. The first reason why you shouldn't marry is fear. Many enter marriage due to fear. Either they feel their biological clock is ticking or time is simply running out on them. This fear makes them jump into relationships or marriages based on their age factor. Some people settle for unsuitable partners because they are afraid that the suitable ones will never come. You hear something like, if I don't marry this one, will another come? And even if he does, when? The fear has pushed many ladies into marrying unsuitable suitors, you know, and, you know, on and on. So, fear shouldn't be a reason. The second one is, do not use it to cure loneliness. I said it in the first service, if you are lonely, deal with it. Nobody will be at your beck and call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. If you are lonely, deal with it. So do not let the pressure of loneliness. And people that are lonely usually or feel that way are self-centered people. They're thinking all about yourself. Remember a woman who almost forgot this example. That was in the middle 90s. She came to me and she was just complaining about her husband and all that. So I said to her, you know, you are also not busy. She says she's feeling lonely. I said, you're not busy. Your husband is in the ministry. Are you not a Christian? I said, I am a Christian. Have you tried to go on evangelism? She said, no. Follow up? No. Have you tried to be praying for him? She said, no. You are not busy. You are just a selfish person. Am I saying that your husband should not spend time with you? I didn't say that. But that loneliness is really selfishness. You want someone to leave his purpose and become, and you become his purpose. I said, no. It becomes effective when you are both involved in what God has called you to do and you complement each other. Do not try to cure loneliness because you will be alone still. You will still be alone. So deal with the loneliness first. Loneliness, again, is an emotional state. You decided to think you are lonely. After all, you have the Holy Ghost. Amen? So, do not take that kind of stupid decision. Like I said in this series, listening to a teaching on marriage is not just because you are married or you are going to get married. It's because it is a subject that you must understand. If you are in the ministry, you must understand it with a view to also help others and to also practice the word. So it shouldn't be because of loneliness. If you are feeling lonely, deal with why you are feeling lonely. Do not use it to cure depression. Like we have said earlier, it is not to show up or to compete or to tell other people that you too, you have arrived. It's stupid. It's stupid. Don't use a fleeting moment for a lifetime event. It doesn't make sense. So getting back to this, we said that that means that marriage is such an influence, you cannot underestimate what it does to people. So we look at a couple of other scriptures in this regard. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Exodus, sorry. We saw Exodus 34 and 16. Why were they forbidden from the same... Now, exactly what Abraham said, Moses said it to us, to Israel too, as they were going to Canaan.
Exodus 34 and 16. I'll start from 15. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land. Covenant is relationship. And go a whoring after their gods. And do sacrifice unto their gods. One calls thee that thou should eat and eat of his sacrifice. Let's take 16 together, Exodus 34. Let's go. And thou shalt take of their daughters unto your sons. And their daughters go a whoring after their gods. And they make their sons go a whoring after their gods. So it's about worship. It's about worship. You cannot marry outside worship. Now, like I said earlier, it doesn't mean that the marriage will not prosper, you won't have kids and enjoy what the world has to offer, but you have simply disobeyed God and the worship of God. This is Romans chapter 7. And that's important to you in verse 3 and 4. Let's take it together. Romans 7 verse 3 and 4. Are you there? Let's go. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter shall not thou give unto his son, nor his daughter thou shalt take unto thy son. For they will turn away your son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. You see that again? So it's about influence. So no matter who you are, your spouse will influence you. And it starts not from marriage. It starts from pre-marital relationship. I've seen people who told me, when we get married, I'm going to change him or change her. And before they got married, they had been changed. Don't underestimate your capacity. It comes with a responsibility that you may not want. Now look at 1 Kings, we saw that earlier, chapter 11. 1 Kings 11. And you know, when Isaac also gave back to Jacob and Esau, before I get to 1 Kings 11, look at Genesis 26. So it's about worship. Genesis 26. And verse 34 and 35. Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith the daughter of Beeri the Hittite and Bethshemai the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which were a grief of mind unto Isaac and Rebekah. Chapter 28, verse 1 and 2. Isaac now called Jacob and blessed him and charged him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from any of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. God Almighty bless you and all that. So you see, it's about influence. It's about the kind of influence that it brings. 1 Kings 11 again. Or let's see other texts. Judges 3. Is anybody here whose worship of God is primary to you? Anyone like that? Worship of God priority? Let me see your hand. Your worship of God is priority to you? Okay, so that must be priority in relationship. Is that very clear? Judges 3, verse 5 to 6. Let's take it together. And just like they were told, let's go. And children of Israel, let's go, dwelt among the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites. Don't mention the last one. Leave it. Whatever sites. Verse 6, let's go, come on. And they took their daughters to their wives, and gave their daughters to their sons, and what? It happened exactly as it was said. So you don't say, well, that's my choice. No. It's your choice, but is it in the Lord? And why would you even think like that? We saw 1 Kings. Let's just go back again. 1 Kings 11. Solomon started having strange, or started loving, 1 Kings 11, 1, King Solomon loved many strange women. Now let me mention something I said in the first service. Normally in their age and world, it was a man's world, they thought. Men were, you know, domineering, patriarchal. But how come as subtle as it appeared. And I think that was another lesson in Adam and Eve's archetypal story, that the woman yet had influence. So do not overestimate your capacity to be influenced. Don't.
1 Kings 11. But before we get to that point, Solomon was a man that the nations of the earth came to him. Nations of the earth. Queen of Sheba came in 1 Kings 10. They brought gold, they brought silver. We don't see Solomon again in the temple that he built. He began ministry before marriage. Very active. Gave prophecies. Told us about how the Gentiles would come to the house. But then as things came, he had people. Well, I thought that he was the one teaching them. But as he was teaching them, and this was a story really, as he was teaching them, as they came from the other nations, they would give him gifts, including wives. They looked like harmless gifts. You know, and they robbed minds. But he now started having strange appetites. A man chosen of God. 1 Kings 11 and 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonites, and Hittites. Exactly something he had read already in the law of Moses. He replayed it. Verse 2 says, of the nations which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come in to you for this show. Turn your heart away, and after God, Solomon came to them in love. Look at it, in love. So love is not enough. Amen. Are you there? He came to them in love. This was a man who was astute with scripture. But he despised this. Look at 3. And had 700 wives, princesses, 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. It came to pass that when he was old, his wife turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord, as was his father. Let's see a few things that he now did. In verse 5, he went after Asherah, the goddess of Zidonites, and after Milcom, the abomination of Ammonites. Solomon did even serve the Lord, and he went not fully after the Lord as he did his father. Then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon, and likewise did he all his strange wives, which burned incense and sacrifice unto their gods. Solomon built another temple. You will become a beast that you never imagined, with the kind of decisions you take in relationships. And I'm not just saying this about marriage. It's about things you surround yourself with generally. People. So marriage is a sphere of influence. You must, before you say I do, ask yourself, what is this going to do for me? So you must have a vision for marriage that includes God's purpose for your life, your career dreams, and all of that. But you must, don't bring people into your life that will become a liability. Don't bring people into your life or persons in your life that will take you on a detour. You will become what you never planned to be. And like we have said, all choices are influenced by background, information exposed to us, and the kind of people that we have kept long around us. And today, I don't have to come to your house to speak to you. So I'm not talking about people that you see every day, but people that you hear every day, you read every day, and you hear from them. And this also goes into our marriages I'm going to talk about in the third service, where you have to also be aware of the influences that come into your marriage. The kind of things that people say. See, man, if there's anything I want you to always forget, never forget, is that man is a product of influence. Don't think you just did something. You were influenced. So sit back and say, why am I saying it? Why am I suddenly talking to my husband like this? Why am I suddenly talking to my wife like this? You know, someone said something to me one day and said, you don't normally talk like that. And I sat back and I said, it's true. I eventually apologized, but I told myself, why did I talk like that? And I had to sit back and say, there must be something that made me talk. And I sat back to find out why I spoke that way. You must do that. Don't just wave it by the side, because it's bound to happen again. So therefore,
we don't overestimate your capacity to be influenced. So don't underestimate, your capacity to be influenced. And I'm saying this to those who are married too. You are a product of influence. Don't take your home to your office. And if you can do it, it's tough these times. Don't take your office home. But ensure that you keep the sanctity of your relationships the way they are. Is it to worship God? Yes, it fulfills your sexual desires. It does. Partnership, companionship, yes. But it is also for the worship of God. Be sure that this relationship will lead to an effective worship of God. So before you say, I do, and when you even are in a relationship, before you get married, ask yourself this, has this affected my worship of God? When a relationship starts to sap your energy, such that you are no longer focused on serving the Lord, then something is wrong. If you now have to give more to a relationship that takes away your fellowship with God, then there's something wrong. It doesn't have to be building a literal tabernacle for an idol. It just means that you are worshipping what your spouse is worshipping. Now, I've seen people who really functioned under the grace of God became drunkards because of the people that they married. I've seen someone who had raised the dead before, start speaking with tongues, and she said that she doesn't believe it's of God, and all of that, because of the man she married. This was someone who raised the dead, and I saw it. I've seen men too do the same. I've seen men change the call of God upon their lives because of the people that they married. So those things are not, it's not far-fetched. Don't think that, you know, you must bring all that you are, socially, emotionally, of course spiritually, into that relationship. So in closing, I'll say, make sure that as much as you're falling in love, when you fall, sit up. And then consider the very important things. Is that clear? We all fall in love. Emotional reaction. You just feel like butterflies in your stomach, which is not good for your health. And you feel your head, and you can't always be feeling that all the time. Because it's a fleeting, passing feeling. But you can sit down and take a judgment call, bringing a lot of things interview. I mentioned something the other time about someone that said, I'll never leave Nigeria. The other person said, I cannot stay in Nigeria. And they got married. Why did you get married? One of you will have to do what you're never supposed to do. So you must sit and say, it's not. We're not working. This can't work. And that's how it is. So just before you say, I do, you must answer those critical questions. Amen. You're blessed. Stand to your feet and give your praise.